a doctor.
We have a show for you. A doctor.
A doctor.
A doctor.
I think our new thing is that remember from? That TV show? Remember that TV show, The Doctors?
Mm-hmm.
That could be our new thing where we just get professional people and ask them questions.
But then didn't we all find out that the doctor's show was basically just like a long form ad and none of them were actually very good doctors. They were just up there selling fake medical bullshit.
Well, today we have a great doctor. Dr. Yay! Marcus Tellez is on the show answering. We didn't even get through all the questions because we had such good conversations.
So it was hard to pick out which ones to do, but we got through, I think, about 11 or 12 medical questions.
That's right. So get out your notebooks. Get your applications ready for medical school. We're going deep into science.
And he's hot, too. Goodbye.
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Sloppy seconds.
Oh, diva. Ah. Ooh, I blew that one out. Okay, hold on. Let me move this. Our number is 213-0536. 9180. That's 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Now on with that show. Are you ready for some sloppy seconds? You stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks, you stupid little fucks, you stupid little fucks, you stupid little fucks. What if I was like a CD that skipped and I just said that for like 2 minutes?
You remember CDs?
Do you remember CD? Do you remember VCRs? Okay.
Do you like CDs?
I'm Meatball, and that's Big Dipper. Welcome back to Sloppy CDs Seconds with nuts? Big Dipper and Meatball. Today we have a long-awaited guest who I've talked about for like 4 weeks now and just never emailed until finally I did.
You're like, we're having a doctor on the show.
We're
going to
have
it's
a doctor.
Gonna happen.
And I just kept saying it. And then I was like, oh, I got to follow through with something in my life. Mm. So this week on the show, we have an incredible doctor who is a doctor to two of my friends who I didn't know about until.
Okay, HIPAA, calm down. Don't. You can't start telling people.
No, and their
business.
Names are.
And I was calling you a hippo. Not. I didn't say HIPAA.
Not HIPAA. No, this isn't a HIPAA violation, Mama.
Okay,
it's about to
hippo.
Be. We have the incredible, all the way from West Hollywood, Los Angeles. It's Dr. Marcus Tellez.
Hello.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
It's not often that you see a doctor with a mullet.
I know, right? The same thing. Or thirst traps all over your Instagram. Fashion thirst traps. I was like, is this a 19-year-old fashion student? But gag, you're a grown-up doctor.
Full-blown medical doctor.
Oh, thank you.
Who has it's not your own practice, but are part of a independent practice, which I think is very cool.
Yeah, it's a great practice. Pacific Oaks, have to plug that. It's been around for over like 40 years since the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. So there's a lot of history in that office. So it means a lot that they allowed me to be a doctor there.
Now, are all the doctors there gay?
Yeah, we're all very, very gay.
I'm coming in for a rectal exam.
I've never had a gay doctor, and I feel like
neither.
I should have a gay doctor.
I know. I want one now. After hearing from all of my friends, sounds like it's way better than a normal doctor.
Stop telling people's business. Okay. So listen, we have a wealth of questions.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions.
One of our segments on the show is called Fuck Talk, and we often talk in great detail about sexual exploits that not only Meatball and I have had in our past or current or currently, but also our guests. We take voicemails, so there's always a lot of sex conversation on the podcast, and we're very sex positive and we talk about all things, but as of late we've come across a couple of things that we just don't fully understand, and I think a lot of our listeners have written in about those things, so we wanted an opportunity to highlight a couple things and sort of hear from an actual professional about them. So I don't know, Meatball, do you want to read the first question?
Yes, because it's very pointed.
Okay.
The first question is, I have a question about dick cheese. What kind of guys are y'all fucking? They have all this dick cheese. I am uncircumcised and I have never had dick cheese. When I heard Meatball talk about how she thinks the uncircumcised people's get dick cheese, just like when you scratch the side of your nose and white stuff comes out and it stinks, damn near threw my phone against the wall when I heard that bullshit. Is your nose uncircumcised, Meatball? Where is the logic? Stop talking about uncircumcised people if you yourself are not uncircumcised.
Ooh.
And don't know what you're talking about, or at least an uncircumcised person to talk about the subject on the show. Since y'all seem infatuated with the topic, please and thank you. Love and uncircumcised. Oh, no, it doesn't say,
it didn't
love.
Say love.
I added it. I added that. I added the love. An uncircumcised man that has never had dick cheese, just like most of us uncircumcised people. Before you answer this question, I would like to say, Is your foreskin covering your ears? Because you didn't understand what I was saying on the podcast, Mr. Foreskin.
Maybe
what
you didn't clarify.
No, I did, because I said there's oils on your skin. And all I was saying was, is it like how when the oil around your nose and the oil behind your ear, like, builds up more than the oil on the rest of your body? Like, you don't, it's like more oil.
Yeah,
I wasn't saying that your nose oil is your dick cheese oil. Okay, sorry. Dr. Tellis, please.
Dick cheese.
I mean, it's just buildup. It's oils, it's skin cells, it's dirt, it's sweat. It just is. Just like you, comparison of the nose and the ears is pretty accurate. I mean, it's skin cells and sweat. That's pretty much what it is. Some people make more, some people make less.
And some people clean it more. And some people clean it less.
Exactly.
Yeah, and cleaning is important. Now, here's a question, because we talked about this, about like peeing. Do you, as a medical professional, do you think just shaking is enough after you pee, or should you do a little dab?
I mean, I do a few dabs. It changes as you age, just because like your prostate is going to get bigger as you get older.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't allow you to empty your bladder as well as you used to.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I shake it a few times just to make sure I get everything out.
And then do you do a little dab? Because sometimes there's a little drizzle.
Yeah. Drizzle. Yeah. It's annoying.
I have never had dick cheese, sweetheart. Everything I've had, I worked for myself from the ground up. You are not that kind of girl.
Also, I would like to say that the way we talk about it, we're not saying that every single uncircumcised person has it. We're talking about it. Like, I don't go around and talk about every circumcised dick I see. I'm not going to talk about every clean, uncircumcised dick I see. I'm going to talk about the nasty ones. So it comes up
more
naturally.
They make for better stories, yes.
Yeah. So I'm sorry if you were offended, Mr. Uncircumcised. Please send me a picture of it and I'll let you know what I think.
And we,
okay, Dipper,
well, we always say cheese because it has that smell. What is that smell?
You know, there's a lot of things on the body that just makes different weird smells, and it's just whatever bacteria you have. I mean, we're all covered in bacteria and yeast, like your body is just covered in natural things. Mm-hmm. So it's just everybody's odor is going to be a little different, and down there it has a particular smell.
Well, I know that my nose oil or whatever, when I wipe it and sniff it, sometimes smells like Parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just me? All right. Okay.
Well, I'm an Asiago girl. I'll tell you that much. Okay. Here's the next question. I'm really curious to hear what Dr. Tellez has to say about aftercare for bottoms after sex. I'm someone who struggles with hemorrhoids and have had 3 of them banded. Rubber band ligation? Is that how you say that word?
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear what he has to say about prevention of hemorrhoids for bottoms who regularly have receptive anal sex. Also, fissures. Can a fissure come back once it's fully healed? I had a fissure 2 years ago, and I always use tons of lube because I'm terrified of it re-tearing. Lastly, exterior anal skin tags. What advice does Dr. Tellez have for removing these pesky little things? Is the removal procedure worth the pain?
Skin tags. Also, I thought it was rubber band litigation. Like, he went and sued his hemorrhoids.
You are dumb. This is, I think, is a big I think this,
this is a
like
lot of questions.
But this is a big question because I remember the first time I like was like sucking this guy's dick and I pushed him back on the bed, lifted his legs up, and I went to go eat his ass, and he had a hemorrhoid. And I was like, oh, what is that? And I just didn't know what it was. And the more asses you deal with, the more the more you realize like only a very few of them are like just like pristinely puckered circles that look like balloon knots. Like many of them are like shaped a little bit differently or have a bump here or a discoloration or whatever. It's a fucking asshole. So I think this is a really good question to talk about.
Yeah. So, I mean, the issue is, the struggle is that like there is no, there's no clear cut answer because some people can have tons of anal sex, never get any hemorrhoids, never have any issues, do the same thing that the next person does, and then another person gets riddled with hemorrhoids. So medically, there's really not that great of advice. I mean, just with just general anal sex, like precautions, right? Like make sure you're prepared, take things slow. If it's a new size or a new shape for you, use plenty of lube, open communication. But as to like preventing the hemorrhoids, there's, I really don't have a good response or answer just because everybody's body is completely different.
What exactly is a hemorrhoid?
So you have your, you have your rectum, which is like the vault right behind your asshole. And so it's filled with lining of very thin muscle, lots of blood vessels, a few mucus cells to help make some mucus. Some people think they make more than others.
Oh, we'll get there.
But essentially, it's a very thin muscular wall. So it's very predisposed to having those blood vessels and tissue just sort of pouch out. And that's essentially what a hemorrhoid is. It's just like a bulge. It's like a hernia in your asshole.
Okay. And now there are some people who like, they go like, oh, I've got a hemorrhoid right now. They use hemorrhoid cream and then it sort of goes away. And then there are other people who they get a hemorrhoid and then it's like, it's there now. It's always this thing that is there.
And they should get ligation. Like,
what is the difference?
So there are internal hemorrhoids and external hemorrhoids. There is like a cell change in your rectum. So if it's above the line, it's called internal. If it's below the line, it's external. But essentially, just like I was saying, like some people's bodies just recover really well from them and they just have to chill out, put some steroid cream and it'll go away on its own and it's not a big deal. Other people, they'll get a bigger hemorrhoid. It'll sort of sit there. It'll be annoying for a while. It'll bleed. Some people think they're dying because it bleeds a little bit, but they don't have any pain. But essentially, yeah, it's just what body you were given. Some people heal really well from it. Some people don't.
And so the second part of their question,
I was going to say the banding is what happens. They put a little rubber band on it and then it dies?
Yeah, it sort of dies and falls off.
I love the human body.
Yeah,
so the second part of their question was about fissures. Can a fissure come back once it's fully healed? Isn't a fissure just a tiny tear in your booty hole?
A fissure is a tiny little tear around the perimeter of your booty hole. They're super, super, super painful, whereas hemorrhoids could like you not feel anything at all. But if you have like a really sharp pain, it's probably an anal fissure. And then so to treat that, you do different creams, different ointments, to sort of heal the skin and then it recovers. But yeah, it could definitely come back.
Oh, because it's like you tore it once and now that area is just forever.
Well, it doesn't even necessarily have to be that same area. It could be somewhere else. Just like when people, it's really weird. I don't know why it came to mind. Like when people get really, really dry feet on their heels and it just cracks everywhere. Yeah, like it can happen in different areas. So it's not necessarily one spot that it's.
Is there a way to prevent that? Is it like oil up your hoochie?
if you don't self-lubricate your own asshole like with all your mucus, then
don't. Don't be spreading.
Why are you doing fake news on here? This is why we brought you.
People said that we're basically the QAnon of gay sex. We don't need this.
You can't. Wait, but also all of these things, for real though, all of these things could happen without ever participating in anal sex if you like shit really hard, right?
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Sit down on a bicycle seat too hard.
After I had my surgery,
horseback riding.
I got hemorrhoids for a little bit just because I was so, I had a abdominal hernia. And so after that surgery, I was like using different muscles to go to the bathroom, and I got a hemorrhoid, and I was like, oh God, my life is ruined. And then it's like, oh no, those go away.
It'll go away. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm talking about it mostly sex because we're talking about sex.
Yeah.
Straight guys get hemorrhoids too, even they put nothing up there. Like,
well, they also don't clean
up.
Oh, and then the last part of their question was exterior anal skin tags, which I don't think I've ever heard of.
Oh yeah,
so some people get the external hemorrhoids and then your body doesn't fully heal it, so then it's like a residual skin tag, or some people just get or like people get skin tags elsewhere and then you can get a skin tag around there. Those are easily removed. It's not a big deal. I mean, if it's big, I would recommend you go to like a surgeon who does it. There are butthole surgeons, so
I know.
Proctologist?
Yes.
Okay. Because I told you, Meepo, we talked about, I had like four or five skin tags removed. Like I had one behind my kneecap and one under my armpit. It was
but
just
those
like,
little ones, you can do that yourself with a pair of scissors, right, doctor?
No! They froze mine off with the like nitrate.
Yeah, so there's two options. You can either just snip them off or you can freeze them off.
Snip them off.
And I got one in my armpit and I just snipped it off.
What, with like sewing scissors?
No, I got like little tiny, I went to the store and got like little tiny scissors, like from CVS. They're like curved. I was just like,
for your pleasure. Curved for your pleasure.
All right, the next question. We're 20
staying
minutes
in the anal area.
Oh yeah. So this is still about a booty hole. Most of these are. My question today is about increasing sensitivity / pleasure of the prostate to enjoy anal more, and specifically to achieve the coveted anal orgasm. Even as a self-proclaimed verse top, I really haven't put much investment into the verse part. My issue isn't so much pain, but just lack of pleasure itself. I keep hearing and reading testimonies of how amazing anal orgasms can be, and I'm just jealous. And I'm a jealous person who wants more flavors to savors. Is that so bad? I know the usual suggested remedies include playing with toys like the Aneros, which I've tried. I don't know what that is. Or
butt plugs. Yeah, this isn't product placement.
Or experimenting with, well, bleep it. Or experimenting with poppers. But when I talk to my friends who truly enjoy bottoming, they give me the impression that they're either like anal or not. Some really don't even enjoy toys or poppers and exclusively want the real thing. I even have considered pursuing work with a sex therapist because I feel like I'm on a wild goose chase for the key to my hole's pleasure chest.
Same.
A service top looking for more self, to be more selfish. Yours truly, Chris. All right, Chris. P.S. I have had two surgeries to remove anal and rectal condylomas?
Warts.
Mama. But this problem preceded the HPV diagnosis. Chris, you got a lot going on. I currently have a clean bill of health and I'm screened regularly. So,
okay. Well, I want
to
talk about
can you
about
train
that.
Your body to like your booty hole getting rammed? I thought it was just like some people like it, some people don't. You may not be one of those people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of like talk about like why are some people only tops, or why are some people only bottoms? And it's like, everybody's body's different. Some people are wired to have more nerve endings in their prostate to like enjoy that sort of thing. And some people don't. And it's nothing to be ashamed of or like be upset about. It's just your body.
Yeah. My body is a wonderland.
So you can't so basically what you're saying is if he like trains his hole or whatever, he'll never like gain more enjoyment.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, you either enjoy it or you don't. And, like, you can't force yourself to, like, get into something.
But is there a way that he could force himself to have an anal orgasm?
I would say try those butt plugs that like have different vibrating levels that other people can control.
Oh, like the Tumi.
Yeah, that thing.
The Tumi? You know Tumi is...
Tomo.
The Tomo, yeah. Tumi is the high-end luggage.
I know. I have a full set.
Yeah, no, okay. That's interesting. I've talked to a lot of people who are like, oh, I was a strict top until my 40s, and now I couldn't even put my dick inside anything. All I want is to get fucked. Like, I think it's like a mentality. Because I think there are a lot of things we do in life. I know you're the one with the medical degree, but I'm weighing in here. There are a lot of things we do in life because we set out to do them. Like, Meatball, you were like, I'm going to get really into roller skating. And then you did that. You were like, I'm going to build a dress form. So I feel like if you really do want to be in your ass, you're going to want to be in your ass. Because I know plenty of people, like, I'm into fisting, and I'll be talking to guys who, like, just want to get fisted that day. And they're like, can you come over? And I'm like, I won't be free until, you know, the evening. And they're like, great. Well, I'm starting with the toys right now. Why? Because they want to. Because they're horny for it. Because they want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like once your brain catches up to
your hole catches up to your brain.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're going to be like, I'm going to be sitting on everything.
Wait, but you earlier said something about your... Wait, I have a couple questions. So when you're getting pleasured anally, the pleasure comes from your prostate?
I mean, I'm sure it's a lot of other complex things that I'm not an expert about. Like,
oh, she's a top. Okay, but like, you were saying that, like, your prostate gets bigger. So, like, would maybe just wait it out and get old.
Yeah, exactly.
And then let someone fuck you.
Exactly. But like, I also have like a bunch of friends who are bottoms and love getting plowed, and they want to be the kind of bottom who like can like come on demand, like hands free. And like, yes, some people try to do that forever and they can never do that. And so like, I don't know. I know it's like a cheap answer, but like, everybody's body's different. Your sex drive is going to change as you age. Like,
that's like, that's like Hunger FF, who we did the fisting special with. He's like, I wish I could give more tips, but my body is just built like this, and I can take a full human arm inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Or what was the one guest that we had who, like, he trains his body to do Daddy Will? Was that his name?
Oh, well, he does tantric sex. So he trains, he, like, does, like... But he does exercises. It's like a full regimen.
Yeah. So maybe go talk to him. Find him. He was
Kegels.
A former guest. Go or apply
Matthew
to his
Camp,
OnlyFans.
Remember, said no, he's a hole trainer.
No, okay.
He said he would train my hole.
Yeah. Have Matthew Camp come over, give him Monopoly money, and leave. Okay.
Okay. So the last PS that I am interested in is about Chris says, I did have two surgeries to remove anal rectal condylomas, which you said are warts, and this problem preceded...
Condoleezza Rice?
No, don't do that. But this problem preceded the HPV diagnosis. Let's talk about HPV and warts, because isn't the vibe that everyone has HPV?
Yeah, everybody does, and if you don't, you're not trying hard enough.
Wow! From a doctor!
But then, okay, if everyone has HPV, does it cause warts on only certain people?
So there are innumerable amount of like HPV strains. And so what the HPV vaccine is, it is a certain amount of specific strains that cause cancer and cause warts, the most common ones, because they can't get all of them, right? So the HPV vaccine prevents against those most common strains that cause those issues. But the thing is, like, some person can get HPV and nothing happens. Their body fights it off and then it's gone. Whereas the next person, their immune system, they're not as lucky, and then they get warts from it.
And how can you pass it to someone else? Only when, like, the warts are visible, or at any time?
So theoretically, it's mostly when it's visible, skin to skin contact. But just it's warts. So like, even the warts that you get on your hands and your toes, your feet, like, those are HPV. And so like, some people get those and other people don't. Like, I've never had a wart on my hands, but like, my cousin gets a bunch of them and then we just rip them off. So like, why some people get them and some people don't. It's just, it's your immune system.
And I have also heard that getting the vaccine is much more, and this is probably totally hearsay, but that HPV vaccine is more recommended for women or people who have sex with women because that's where the cancer is more prevalent. Is that true? So, or is it so in
never
general?
Have sex with women.
Or is it so in that, general recommended for everyone?
So that was the traditional mindset because medicine is traditionally conservative and cis.
It's women.
Yes. That too.
Yes.
So nowadays, the Gardasil, the HPV vaccine, is recommended for everybody, no matter your gender, your sexual orientation, what have you. It's recommended from childhood to... Nowadays, the FDA has approved it to be up to 45, but most insurance companies won't cover it unless you're under 26. But I recommend it for everybody. Like,
I've
if you're having sex,
it.
Get it.
Well, get we got to swing on by Dr. Talis's office. We
yeah, you giving out shots? What's going on? Can we get that HPV mask? Okay.
We have to take a break. But this next question is also about STIs. Goodbye. This episode is brought to you by Helix.
That's right, baby. We love Helix mattresses. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
And how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Just take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I took the quiz and I was matched with the big and tall sleeper. It got delivered in a box. We unwrapped the box and threw it on the bed, and it's sort of like you give it a little time to settle, and I love sleeping on my mattress. It is something I look forward to coming home to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've both been traveling so much lately, and for me, I just love coming home to sleep on my Helix mattress. Nothing is as comfortable.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. And that's why they offer a 100-night sleep trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Helix is offering up to 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/sloppy and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
HelixSleep.com/sloppy and use code HelixPartner20.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay, Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
And we're back! That one was okay. That was okay.
I liked it.
Before we get back to the questions, Dr. Tellus, do you know Wicked?
I know Wicked from your impact of Wicked.
Oh! Oh! Now, what disease would it be if my skin started turning green?
I'm trying to think. No, well, if you were yellow, you'd have jaundice.
I had that as a baby. They called me Baby Bird.
That's cute.
Baby Big Bird?
Big Bird. Big Bird. That's what they called me because I was fat, too.
They called you Baby Bird because your mom was vomiting in your mouth. She was, Fiji. Like very Crystal Method.
Why is it spicy?
Why is it spicy? Okay, so here's a question. Are some people, and I feel like you're going to give the doctor answer, which is the right answer, which is everybody's different, but are some people more susceptible to STI infection? This person says, it seems like the three people I've had relations with in the last 2 years all gave me something. Coincidence?
No, I mean, if somebody has an STI and you have sex with them, oral or what have you, you're probably going to get it. Yep. Like, STIs are very, very transmissible.
Do you think, my theory, okay, so then their question is, do you think some people are more prone? Like, they're like, whatever their makeup in their body, it's like, I'm going to get the infection. Like, when I was younger, I had strep throat a lot. You know, and some babies get ear infections a lot. Like, are some people just like, bring on the chlamydia because it's always for me?
I haven't seen any data to, like, support that.
Okay.
And the thing with medicine is, like, it's very much, like, based on, like, data and information. So there are some things that I just generally don't know because nobody's paid money to, like, look into it.
Right.
That's one of the main restrictions in, like, modern Western medicine is that it's very limited to what we have facts and statistics about. And as of right now, I don't have any information to be like, yeah, some people are more predisposed to get gonorrhea or chlamydia.
I'm going to make a prediction that in the next 3 months, the amount of STD patients that you see is going to skyrocket.
It's not stopped, like pandemic or not. It's always been a thing.
What about the stuff that's antibiotic resistant? You always see, there are billboards in LA talking about super gonorrhea.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I post about it, too. Have they ever seen it? No. Like, I treat somebody for an STD or STI. They come in. I treat them. I have them come back in a week or two for retests, and it's always clear.
Oh. So, super gonorrhea?
Well, I'm scared of this. I'm scared of this.
You heard it here first from Dr. Tellus.
Super gonorrhea. I'm scared of the super gonorrhea, honestly. I feel like
too.
It's coming.
But it's
for
not
me.
Stopping you from going out on sniffies. Okay, so this next question is can you please talk about PrEP 211, aka PrEP on Demand? I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So it's a very European thing. There's a study called Hypergay, where.
What'd you call me?
Where they gave PrEP to this either Descovy or Truvada. You took two pills the day before you have sex, one pill the day of sex, and one pill the day after sex. And it's shown to be just as effective as if you take PrEP every single day. It's not approved by American health organizations because, you know, we're not sex forward. It works. It's a thing. As a medical professional in the US, I have to recommend people take their PrEP every day. But facts are facts.
America.
It's like Plan B.
For me, it's more of like a mind fuck. Yeah. Like, it's just remembering you have to plan your sex, know that you're going to do two the day before, and then make sure you do one the day of and one after. So for me, it's a little mental gymnastics. But if it works for some people who are not regularly going out on the town, if it works for you, it works for you. Like, I'm not going to go against it.
Because I
PrEP
do think
so expensive. And if you're not having sex, why take it?
Yeah.
Okay, this next question is a big one. It's a little psychological. This came in from Instagram. It says, I fear all sex. I feel like I'm playing with my life after having sex. I'm sex positive for like 15 minutes of the day, and then I have so much anxiety.
Oh, no.
Thoughts?
I mean, I don't know this person personally, but...
Right, of course.
I mean, it's a very American, like... sort of underlying shame of sex, fear of sex, sort of taboo thing, right? Like, there's nothing life-threatening about STIs these days now, right? Like, gonorrhea and chlamydia, easily treated syphilis, a little bit more barriers to treatment in California, I found, but it's still treatable. HIV, it's treatable. U equals U, so undetectable means untransmittable. So a lot of people are on their medications. They have access to medications, so they don't transmit the virus. So having like a genuine fear of sex outside of like intimacy, it's a little strange, but I mean, everybody has their own things that they have to deal with. It's just important to talk about these topics. That's why I love talking about sex. I love talking about STIs because I want to help decrease the stigma that it has for people. Yeah. So people aren't afraid to have sex.
Okay. So the last time I had an STI, I had just gotten tested and I had like, all my test results came back negative. And then I hooked up with a guy like 4 or 5 days later, but I had also started hooking up with other people too. And
wait, so you were hooking up with a bunch of guys?
Yeah, like three people.
You were like, I hooked up with a guy a few days later, but well, I was so also hooking up with five or six other people.
I went and got tested, and then like, you know, a few days later, I hooked up with this one guy, and then I hooked up with a few other people over the next couple weeks. And then 3 weeks after I hooked up with the one guy, he messaged me, or I messaged him. I was like, hey, how you been? What's going on? And he was like, I wish you would have told me you had an STD before I came over. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like 3 days after I saw you, I had discharge from my dick and I went to urgent care. And I was like, this was 3 weeks after I had we had hooked up. And he only was telling me this after I reached out to him and said, how you been? So he's saying,
but he said 3 days after y'all he hooked up, me. He had discharge. So that's not you. That's someone else.
Well, so I said, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Like, what happened? And he was like, oh, I had chlamydia and, you know, you should probably get checked out. I can't believe you had chlamydia. And I was like, well, here are my, and I sent him my test results. I was like, this is from right before we interacted. Like, and he was so aggressive and angry with me the entire time. And I was just trying to be like calm and rational. And I was like, I'm really sorry. Obviously, like, we're not married. We weren't dating. We don't know each other. You came to my house to fuck around. We didn't use any sort of barrier. This is the risk. Like, you have to understand that you're a grown-up man.
You responded the wrong way. You had to flip it on him. You had to be like, I'm sorry. No, 3 days? That wasn't me. I should be mad at you for giving me something, you little piece of shit. And then got him, girl. Because that's not how science works.
This is what we're trying to... This is what we're trying to say is that, like, yeah, it can be a bummer and it can be disappointing. Yes. And, like, it can suck to be like, fuck, okay, well, if you're telling me this now I have to tell these two other people or these eight other people, depending on how social you've been or what kind of, you know, group outing you planned into the woods to fuck all your bear friends. But it's sort of the thing. I said this to a friend of mine. I was like, I want to ultimately be in a relationship that is like open and sex positive, that if my like partner came home and just sat a thing of antibiotics on the table and said, sorry, I would be okay with that.
Yeah, that's because, but wait, I'm still confused. Cause I mean, that story was long and great and all, but why didn't you tell him that it wasn't you? Why did you just like keep on like trying to calm him down instead of being like, it's clearly not me that gave you the STD, you gave me an STD?
He told me that he had not hooked up with a single other person except for me in the last 6 months.
Well, that's
what
lie.
He told. That's fine, Meatball, but what I'm trying to say is we need to be in the practice of being more compassionate and empathetic because of what Dr. Tellis is saying, is that it's treatable.
Empathy. empathy.
Yeah, exactly. Empathy, you know, it's...
Now.
I think it's really important to talk about these sort of things because, yeah, some people, they get the test results. They're like, okay, yeah, I was doing what I was doing and now it's time to treat what I got. And so, like, if you're having sex, you have to accept the responsibility of what repercussions may happen and not make such a huge deal about it because right. It's ultimately
and also
treatable.
Not call me a liar.
Well, I'll tell you this. I then reached out to the two, maybe it was three other people because it had been 3 weeks since I had heard from this guy. I reached
out.
Which
that is insane because if it was 3 weeks out, if you want to be a genuine, good, nice person, you should tell those people. Like,
you should message me right away.
Weeks out.
The fact that I was like, hey, and he was like, I can't believe you didn't tell me you had an STD. The fact that
I
also,
like, I can't believe you didn't tell me.
But either one of those sentences doesn't make sense because why would you be like, I currently have syphilis. Who wants to come over and fuck? Like, if you knew you had something, you wouldn't not say something and
yeah,
just
you
have
hook
sex.
Up with them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But all the other guys that I told, I was like, hey, bummer, super sorry, you should go get tested. No one had anything.
That's because he was the liar.
But I did. It was him and I who both tested positive, but no one else. And I had seen
so
these guys after
I saw
him.
So you got it from him!
But didn't pass it on to these other people somehow.
Anyway, yeah. One time I got syphilis from sucking a go-go boy's dick, and I had no idea. Well, we still don't know. They didn't tell me at the ER, but we had no idea. And then, like, 2 or 3 weeks later, my palms were, like, bright red and itchy, and, like, my tongue and mouth was all itchy, yeah. And I could, like, feel it. So I went to the hospital, and they gave me antibiotics, but he was like, you should go get an STD test. And I was like, why don't we just do that here in the hospital?
Yeah.
And they refused to do it. But it went away with the antibiotics, so I'll never know. But I think I know. And that go-go boy never told me shit. I had to message him and be like, hey, I think you gave me syphilis. And he was like, well, I don't have symptoms. And I was like, well, you're the only dick I sucked.
See, that's the other thing. Not everybody is going to get symptoms right away. Some people will get symptoms like a few days out. So that's why if you're having sex and you're going to have multiple partners, either have that conversation or get tested routinely. I think that's part of, I never liked the term safe sex. I like talking about responsible sex.
Yes.
So having open communication with your partners, getting tested routinely and accepting the possible repercussions of your actions.
Girl.
Well, that leads right into this next question, which is, hi, Slops. For the doctor interview, could you have him explain to people more about undetectable equals untransmittable? As a pause undetectable person for over 11 years, a lot of people don't understand still. Please don't say my name. Well, his name is, no. Being a pause still has a lot of stigma, even though...
He didn't
though,
say being a pause. It says being pause.
But to me, he is a pause.
No. Being pause...
Bad?
Still does have a lot of stigma, even after medication and CDC guidelines around you equals you. So you mentioned it already, but please just like, let's break this down for people with
yeah.
any sort of
for all my
stigma or weird trepidation around this.
Yeah. So they've done two large studies called the Partner and Partner 2 trials where they had HIV positive patients. It was couples. So they had one person in the couple who was HIV positive, the other person in the couple who was HIV negative. And they had sex loads of times. Lots and lots and lots of sex.
Loads.
Lots of loads.
Lots of loads. No condoms. They followed them for like 2 to 3 years. And as long as the HIV positive partner was taking their medications regularly and had an undetectable viral load, meaning that their medication suppressed the viral load to undetectable blood levels, that none of the partners who were HIV negative got HIV, even after load after load after load. And it was
load
done
after
in-
load.
Load
after load!
It was done with same-sex partners and heterosexual partners.
Fuck the heteros. I mean...
So science shows that as long as you're undetectable, you can't transmit the virus to other people. It was very discussed about in Europe, like years and years ago. Mm. But it took about like 2 or 3 years before the US started accepting those scientific studies. So it was kind of weird. So I think it's newer here for people.
Like you were saying, I feel like the U.S. is just like so sex negative, and it's like shame-based teachings on sex. Like, my sex ed was awful. They were basically just like, I mean, it was like that scene in Mean Girls. It was like, if you have sex, the girl will get pregnant, you'll get an STD and die. And that was like our sex ed.
My sex ed was one video of a woman giving birth, and that was it.
I remember that video. I'm sure.
Wait, they never showed us that
one. You never saw that one?
No. We watched a weird animation of a person getting a boner and then like cum coming out of it. And then the teacher was literally like, any questions?
And you were like,
we were like, I was like, I have a lot.
How does it taste?
I have a lot. I want to know how it tastes. I remember being like, it was like you had to write down the question on a piece of paper and put it in a hat, and then he would like pull it out, so it'd be anonymous. But no one wrote anything because we were like, they'll know, they'll figure it out and know. Anyway, next question. Okay. Please ask the good doc. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you go. Go ahead.
Please ask the good doctor about girls squirting. Is it real? Is it just piss? Also, about anal creaming. Why do guys release a white, creamy substance while getting fucked? Is it mucus? Thank you. I've never seen a white, creamy
substance. Have you seen a white, creamy substance?
Yeah. No? Neither? Have you?
I've never experienced that.
Okay. So I guess it was probably the type of lube that we used.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Boy butter.
Yeah. So the girl squirting thing, yes, it's very real. I have a few girlfriends that do it, and some people love it, some people don't. It's like their mucus. It's your vagina makes a lot of mucus, different cells,
27 types.
And so some people just squirt. It's not something that they can really truly control, and sometimes there is a little bit of pee, but yeah, it's just,
it must be very dehydrating, right?
I guess, yeah.
Because when I watch squirting videos, they go the fuck.
Well, they off. Those aren't real.
I've seen the tapes, honey. There are no tubes. There are no wires. No, there's
here's the thing, and I think this is where a lot of people's confusion comes from. I think in porn.
Lay it down
when
for
girls
us,
are squirting, I think I'm gonna put it down. I think that a lot of times they're just peeing. But I think in porn they're not like, oh yeah, I'm gonna squirt. I think that they in their mind are like, and now I do the squirt portion, let me urinate and make it seem like I'm squirting.
I don't think so.
I've watched enough Trisha Paytas jerk off videos to know.
Do you look at her OnlyFans?
I did for a while, but it got sad.
Go ahead.
I've never cared enough to like watch squirting videos, but
I'll send you some links.
One of my close friends who will be not named, she will squirt sometimes that it just soaks the bed, and then they have to change the sheets, and like it's a whole thing, like it's a whole ordeal. Like she loves having sex, but like it's an annoyance also.
Good for her.
That's amazing. Okay, and then what about the cream, the anal creamy substance?
I think it just has to do with like the type of lube you use and like how hard and how fast you're getting fucked. Like
how hard like, and it just fast makes, are you fucking?
With anything you lather up, it's gonna make bubbles. It's gonna look white. It's just gonna just lather.
Okay.
Yeah, I also think that maybe it might be a little. I mean, if you're raw dogging it, maybe you come a little. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
And you churn that up, and that always looks creamy.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
All right, this next question is about anatomy here. So I'm 33 years old, uncircumcised, and I have phimosis. So what is that? Phimosis.
So phimosis is when the opening of your foreskin is not large enough to allow for the head of your penis to come out. Sometimes it only happens when you're erect. Sometimes it happens even when you're flaccid. Like, it's very difficult for you to pull back that foreskin. For some people, it causes them a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort with sex.
Right. And we've actually had someone call in and say they were fucking someone with a condom on and they tore their skin and the condom filled with blood. Remember that story, Meatball? That was a really intense story. Okay. So this person continues. I don't have problems with erection or anything like that. I've been trying to top more, but I get tears and it's quite painful. It's somewhat tedious having to take really special care when I shower as my foreskin doesn't retract. I've seen a handful of urologists and the only opinion is getting this cut off. My question is, are there other procedures out there to help with my condition?
I don't know if there's other, no, there are no other medical procedures. Some people try to do a little steroid cream, because steroid, essentially, it does weaken the skin. So in theory, you could do a little steroid cream, stretch up the skin more, and hopefully be able to overcome that. But ultimately, I have had quite a few patients, like even in their 40s, go and do a circumcision because it just, they're done.
Wow. And how long does that take to recover from?
3 months.
Like a few days. Like, it's an in and out surgery. It's just like, I mean, we do it in America so much to babies. So like, babies are traumatized. They don't remember what happens and then they go through their life.
But I had a friend who had it and he was like, I couldn't get a boner for like 2 months or something.
He what?
He couldn't get a boner, like, because of the scarring, and letting it heal. Maybe it was 1 month.
Yeah, maybe he just had
a big old dick. Now there's no so there's no way to, like, just, you know, clip it back and make it like a little cape. So you still get the enjoyment of a foreskin, opens up at the bottom. Yeah.
No, I've had a couple of people actually go in for revision because there was still too much skin. So
revisionist history. Oh my god.
Oh mom.
Okay, so this one is it's not the same person, but it is also about anatomy specifically. You want to read it, Paul?
So I've got a stricture in my urethra, scar tissue, essentially, that constricts the pathway and makes it harder for me to pee. I'm getting it taken care of with my urologist soon, but I've heard that the strictures can come back and even after an operation. My sex-related question is that I've heard of sounding rods can help after recovery from strictures. So, from strictures to keep them from coming back. But I'm too nervous to ask my doctor because I'm in a fairly conservative state and don't know if his answer would be colored by my religious and cultural leanings of my community. I would love to hear from your guest. I had a friend that had this. Also, but after the surgery, even before the surgery, he was like sticking a, what's the thing up your
catheter? Ether.
Yeah, he had to use a catheter to pee.
Yeah. So, I mean, sounding is a sex practice that people do. I know a few people who do it.
Do you do it?
Would it help with strictures? I would like to say yes, but, like, also as a doctor, everything I say is because of, like, sound, like, studies and research, and I don't have any research off the top of my tip of my fingers to, like, say that it's true, but I would like to think that it makes sense. And people enjoy it very much, so.
Yeah, so as a sex practice, try it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And if it helps with your strictures afterwards, cool.
Yes. Yeah. And also, it is true that it can come back. And I don't want to scare this person, but my friend had to get surgery twice to clear up his little scar tissue.
Yeah, because a stricture essentially is scar tissue. And once you get scar tissue somewhere, it sucks. And it's really, really hard to take care of. So.
Make so sure maybe stick a thing in your dick and see what happens.
I wonder if when this person pees, if, like, you know, when you have like boner pee or like right after you fuck pee, and the pee kind of goes in a couple different directions because there's like too much semen on your dick, and then your dick's still hard.
Is that what it is?
And I wonder if that person experiences that often because of the scar tissue. Just the wonderment. Okay, we have a few more questions, but God, I mean, we got so many, so we're going to pick and choose here. But this next one I like. Two-part question. Part one, I've gotten mixed answers on this, but I'm a gay trans guy several years into hormone therapy and am unclear as to how that affects chances of pregnancy when having unprotected vaginal sex. Part two, when I went through the process of starting testosterone, I explained how it would affect areas like the clitoris or vagina and thus change how I experience sex. However, I'm curious if there is anything known about how testosterone hormonal therapy affects anal sex. For example, could I eventually develop a prostate as folks assigned male at birth do?
Okay, so first part of the question was
pregnancy, risk of pregnancy.
So risk of pregnancy, this is going to be on a one-on-one, but like it's going to have to be on an individual basis, like sure. Based on what your testosterone levels are versus your estrogen levels, if you're still having menstrual cycles, if you've had surgeries done, it's hard to tell one individual person. So it's just going to be it's going to change from person to person. So if you have a provider who's giving you the testosterone, I would definitely talk to that specific provider about your situation.
What about spending years on the testosterone? Like over time, does it decrease? Like, cause there's more testosterone in the system or not really?
No, I mean, so if you stop the testosterone and your estrogen levels start coming back, then you can get pregnant.
Wow.
I've seen actually it's becoming more popular to like, not popular, it's becoming more openly discussed on social media.
Yeah.
So like I have seen quite a few trans men sort of get off their testosterone and get pregnant with their partners. So
right.
It's awesome.
I have a friend who's
never thought about that
for a long time. So when he did get pregnant, throughout the whole pregnancy, only just towards the end did he start to like look a little different because he had sort mm-hmm. of really physically transitioned over so many years. And then I also know someone who it was sort of earlier in their transition, and so their appearance really shifted throughout their pregnancy because they hadn't, you know, been on testosterone for a really long time. It was really fascinating to sort of see their pregnancy journeys. Okay, part two. Do you think, okay, so obviously the clitoris and vagina change with the use of testosterone and the way like sex is enjoyed, does it have any impact on anal sex?
No, unfortunately, you can't grow organs like that just because you're on testosterone. Could you still enjoy anal sex? Absolutely. I know a lot of people who don't have a prostate and they still enjoy anal sex. How or why? I don't have an explanation, but...
You're good like, it's that. Only good if you're knocking that prostate door. That's the only vibe.
But like, good for them. So no, you won't grow a prostate. Can you still enjoy anal sex? Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Work. Okay, Meatball, do you want to choose our last question?
I mean,
I know there are so many. Gosh. Do you want to do the libido question?
Yeah, number 16.
Or, yeah.
Here's one
or 17 is kind of the same one. They're both about libido.
Well, one of them is one sentence and the other one is a goddamn novel. Okay, I'll read them both because it'll be easy. Here's question number 16. What should I do if quarantine has killed my libido and I have almost no drive with hot men, but will just masturbate later because I'm lazy and it's easier? And then question number 17. Hi, Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm in a relationship with an age gap of 15 years. I'm the younger one turning 40 in September. Oh, okay.
Okay, so 55.
So why are you saying younger? I mean, okay. I haven't had sex with my partner for 3 years now. He says he's losing libido. And I have said we can do everything under the sun that he's comfortable with that's non-penetrative. So far, nothing. We are open, but I have been noticing that my libido has really taken a dive as well. Blue Chew helps. You're welcome. But I still can't organism. I still can't orgasm with a partner and lose
he
my...
He wrote organism. You better read that correctly.
But I still can't organism with my partner and lose my election.
I'm a girl, mixed... she got jokes in here.
Yeah, I'm a mixed bear, not quite black, not quite white, not American, not yet a woman. You guys may know, not everyone's cup of tea is up in Boston. Oh, okay, so yes, you're a person of color.
She's saying, in yeah, in Boston is racist.
Yes, yes, I said their name. Should I check on my testosterone levels to see if that will improve my libido, or am I too young? Not at 40. When alone... A hit of poppers in 5 minutes on my visitor, and I'm good. Just with others is the problem. Also, my doctor says clean bill of health, so no underlying HELAT issues. Also, we need to normalize not everyone getting off when having sex. It's still a good time, by all. Thank you, guys, and love the show. Goodbye. Damn. Parsley, my dyslexia and partially him not being able to write.
So, yes. So, that question is about being with a partner they haven't had sex in 3 years. The older partner's libido is low. And the person who wrote in is saying, you know,
is a hit of poppers. Young?
But a hit of poppers in 5 minutes in a porn video, no problem. But with other people, the libido is there. And that first question sort of speaks to that too. Like quarantine and not being around people for a year. Like, are more people just wanting to jerk off?
Sounds
and not,
like a
deal
psychological
with...
issue.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Take it away.
So I mean, I am not a health or a sex therapist by any means. So like, my two cents is my two cents. But I mean, there's a lot of issues that like can affect your libido, whether it's your testosterone, whether it's underlying anxiety, depression. Like, we've been in a pandemic for a year. Like, people are fucking depressed, Mary. So like, all of that affects your libido in different ways. And some people can watch porn as much as they want and have sex with other people and not have issues. Whereas some people, if they watch too much porn, then they lose their libidos with other actual humans. So there's no really clear-cut good answer I can give. I mean, if you do suffer from a low libido, you're having issues with erections, by all means, check your testosterone levels.
And that's for people at any age, right? Because he said he's 40 too old, but I was like, I know people who are in their 20s that went and got started on testosterone because they had low levels.
Do I recommend that at your 20s? No, but are there lots of people that are on it in their 20s? Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, because they like to throw hands at the gym.
They like to juice.
Yeah, mama. I love
juice. On the
wall,
no seconds, no one ain't
no, I'm cute.
So, I mean, I would encourage people to, if they really feel like it's an issue, first of all, number one, check in on your mental health. Make sure that your mental health is being addressed properly. Number two, sure, check your testosterone levels. Have them checked and see if they could be adjusted a bit. Three, the other thing that I recommend to a lot of patients is things like, I'm not throwing out brands, Viagra, Cialis, things like that to help
Blue
your erections.
Chew.
Blue Chew!
Sponsors of the pod!
Sponsor of the pod!
It's the first chewable in a discreet package.
In a discreet package.
And it's a chewable
with the same ingredients
as Viagra and Cialis.
Blue Chew!
There you go!
Thank you!
Because that in of itself, I mean, when people are getting intimate and you have a little bit of anxiety, performance anxiety, you're going to lose your erection. And then that in of itself is going to kill any sex drive that you have or willingness to continue. Having that little boost of something to help maintain an erection, whether you're topping or bottoming or just enjoying the view,
wait,
it gives you the extra sort of support to keep going and not sort of get down on yourself.
That just reminded me, there's another question in here. Dipper, I don't know if you took it out, but it was someone asking if there was a way for them to last longer. Because they come very quickly. Oh, maybe it was... Oh, it was a phone call, but we didn't play it. That's what it was. I texted it to you. But
should
it's
I play
fine.
It? Should it be the last
main,
one?
No, the main question was basically... No, because I don't want to wait a minute and a half
it's time to, go.
To get to the one sentence. The main question is there anything that people can do to prolong... coming, because he said that basically like he'll be with someone, it'll be hot, and then like two pumps and he's done.
Yeah, I mean, there are desensitizing creams and lubes that sort of numb you a little bit so that you're not so instantly wanting to come. But like even just practicing edging on by yourself, just to sort of like gauge and figure out how your body works, is also a good way to get in tune with yourself and how you can help other people.
Stunning.
Okay, edging.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then the last part of that question where they talked about not everybody has to get off, I also fully support that. Same. Do I get it personally? No, because I want to get off.
Oop.
But I
the doctor's got to shoot, honey. The doctor's got to shoot.
We got to get them cummies out.
But I have had a few partners who enjoy having sex, want to have sex, but don't care about getting off. And to them, their getting off is me getting off. And so, like, do I get it? No, but I fully support it in any sort of mutual sort of sex act that people feel comfortable with.
Likewise. I think any of the...
Well, yeah, because you never come. You only suck their dicks and fist them until they come, and then you're like, I gotta go home.
And then I just go home and stand in the corner and jerk off by myself after I've pleased half of L.A. This has been great. I feel like we need to do a part two at some point in the future, because I would love to talk to you about fisting a little more.
I'd love to learn about it.
Because it is wild. Talk about a prostate exam. I mean, you are feeling the full inside of a human being. And then when we talk to people who are like super pros, they're just like, yeah, my body just works like this. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, I have to go over the coccyx and around the corner into the, like, yeah, it is wild up in there.
And the booty hole, it turns.
Keisha, that's the booty hole.
Keisha, the booty hole, it goes right.
The second hole.
The second hole is not technically a second hole. It's just where it turns.
Yeah, of course it's not technically a second hole. Who thought it was an actual hole?
A lot of fucking fags did.
Okay, Jesus Christ. We gotta go. Listen, the doctor's got patients.
Yeah, you gotta put on your little medical scrubs and get at it. Actually, you don't wear scrubs. No, you're too fancy for that.
You wear a lab coat with booty shorts, though?
No.
But based on your Instagram.
Based on his Instagram, this doctor has a hog. Okay.
Wow.
Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you and that hog?
So you can find me on Instagram at the word doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R .Telez, T-E-L-L-E-Z. You can find me on YouTube somewhere. I don't really post that much. I have a TikTok and Twitter, but I also don't use those. So just check me out on Instagram.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
The pecs are banging.
I know.
Oh, thank you. I love my titties.
He
wears like literal designer fashion wear to work. And I was like, but what if there's blood?
Then I wear like a little over lab covering.
Thank you so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds. You can follow us on Instagram at Sloppy Pod. Send us an email at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com or call in with your fuck talk story to 213-536. Oh, not one. Scripts are Big Dipper Jelly and Spiciest Meatball. You can find me on Twitter at Fat Drag Meatball. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which will come out every Tuesday and Friday. Doodle-a-doo-doo, forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.